Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirschner. What does it mean to be a person? Well, if you're human, then it's safe to say that you're also a person, and that means you have certain rights. So today on Animals Today, we ask, can a being that is not human be a person? It depends on what personhood really means, right? Imagine a human-dog hybrid created in the not-too-distant future, composed of, say, 99% human genes and 1% canine genes. She looks pretty much like a human, but on closer inspection, maybe her palms are a little coarse, or maybe her ability to hear very high-pitched sounds is very acute. Yet she drives a car, she cooks, she works, she uses a computer, she even likes to golf. Yet because she's a hybrid, you might argue that she really is not a genuine human being, that she's some other kind of animal. But is she a person? What is a person? What would her rights be in society? Today's show centers around rights for animals other than humans. And I bet that by the end of the hour, the interesting term non-human rights won't seem so strange. That's because we are joined today by attorney, lecturer, and author Stephen M. Weiss. Stephen is president of the Non-Human Rights Project and has practiced animal protection law for 30 years. He's the author of 4 books, including Rattling in the Cage, Toward Legal Rights for Animals. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you for inviting me.
Stephen, you and the Non-Human Rights Project are working to elevate the legal status of animals. What is meant by legal rights for animals?
Well, a legal right, well, actually, legal rights can be kind of complicated, but essentially, if you don't have a legal right, then you are invisible to the civil law. You're not seen as existing for your own sake. You're seen as existing for the sake of those who do have legal rights. You're seen as a legal thing and not a legal person. So it's the capacity that the human slave to one sin and other humans as well. It's a very bad place for you to be legally.
Stephen, why do animals deserve legal rights?
Well, I started thinking about that issue about 30 years ago when I began to litigate on behalf of non-human animals and realized that because they were legal things and not legal persons who had rights, they were indeed essentially invisible to the civil law. So I realized in order to protect their interests, they were going to have to be made legal things. I'm sorry, legal persons, and have at least certain kinds of fundamental rights, or else they'd continue to be unprotected. So when I made that decision, I began to think about the question that you just asked. Well, why is it that they should have rights? And then I began to look into legal history. I spent perhaps 5 or 6 years just reading and thinking and trying to understand why it is that humans had rights. And thought that if I can understand why humans had rights, I might be able to better understand why it is that non-humans should have rights. And I started with the Mesopotamians and went to the ancient Greeks and the Hebrews and the Romans and into the common law and all the way up to now, look at international treaties, and began to get a reasonable idea, at least what I thought was a sufficient reason for rights, because judges and legislators and treaties kept repeating these things over and over again. And one of them was the idea of liberty, and the other was the idea of equality. And those seem to be very important principles that should be involved in deciding whether a being should have rights and what rights she should have.
And what other causes of legal action that may be brought in arguing for greater rights for animals?
The first thing we're trying to do is figure out how to kind of break into the legal personhood game, how to persuade a high court that a non-human animal is the kind of being who should have a legal right, who should have legal personhood. And so one of the ways that we are doing that is to use the same causes of action that have been used on behalf of humans who were legal things, and when their lawyers tried to break them into the legal person game. And so one of the things I did was research and write a book called Though the Heavens May Fall, which looked at the way a black slave in England named James Somerset used the legal process in 1772 to take himself out of the status of a slave, a legal thing, and bring him into the status of a legal person in which he had rights. And so I wrote that book really as a blueprint for how it is that any legal thing, whether you're a human or you're not a human, could use the legal process for attaining legal personhood and fundamental rights.
Stephen, where does the writ of habeas corpus come into play here?
Well, that is exactly the cause of action that James Somerset's lawyers used when he was a slave. James Somerset had been a slave, had been captured in West Africa, taken to Virginia and Massachusetts, then ultimately to London as a slave for 25 years. He escaped. His master set out slave catchers and then found him after almost 2 months and brought him to a ship, the Anna Mary, that was anchored in the harbor in London, and they were going to then bring him to Jamaica and sell him in the slave markets there. And a writ of habeas corpus, a common law writ of habeas corpus, because there are statutory writs of habeas corpus and constitutional writs and common law writs, his lawyers used a common law writ of habeas corpus, which is exactly what we intend to do for our non-human animal plaintiffs. And a common law writ of habeas corpus means that you go in front of a judge and you ask the judge to order that the defendant who is detaining the body of the plaintiff produce the body. That's habeas corpus. Produce the body. Bring the body into court and give a satisfactory legal explanation for holding that person's body. And that's what James Somerset did, and that's how he was freed, because the person who was the captain of the ship was not able to give a legally sufficient answer, because his answer was, well, the man's a slave. And that brought the issue of whether or not the man could be a slave in England. And Lord Mansfield, who was the great English judge, said that that the common law would not countenance that slavery was, human slavery was so odious that the common law would not support it. And that's similar to what we are doing. We will be bringing someone who's detaining the body of our non-human animal plaintiff into court by filing a common law writ of habeas corpus and demand that they give a legally sufficient explanation for why they are detaining our plaintiff's body. And they'll probably say, well, the non-human animal is property, and I'm the owner, and that's where the challenge as to whether or not that can be so will be brought four square in front of the court.
So interesting. Stephen, what animals are candidates to be involved in legal action?
I have been thinking about that for many years, and in my first book, Rattling the Cage, I talked about the cognitive capabilities of chimpanzees and bonobos. And in the second book, Drawing the Line, Science and the Case for Animal Rights, I looked at other animals who also could be potential candidates for these sorts of rights. And I looked at elephants. I looked at such cetaceans as whales or dolphins, orcas. Looked at such corvids as African gray parrots, and then set out what the cognitive abilities of these creatures were. Elephants. I looked at dogs as well. I looked at various kinds of other apes, orangutans and gorillas as well, and set out what was known about the cognitive abilities of these animals and showed how utterly extraordinary they were. And the reason I set those out when I wrote those books now 10, 13 years ago was because we knew a lot about them, and what we knew about them showed that they had an extraordinary cognitive abilities.
Mm.
And what we only know more about them. And so it's likely that the prime candidates for our first cases will either be elephants, cetaceans,
right,
or apes.
Don't go away. More with Stephen Weiss with the Non-Human Rights Project.
She can't stop walking it down. That's a walking dead dog. If you don't know how to do it, I'll show you how to walk the dog. Come on now.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org. Did you know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now, everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Sure, old acquaintance.
Buy Kellogg's Special K Red Berry cereal at Walmart.
And never
forget to buy some Healthy Choice Cafe Steamers meals.
We'll take a cup of
Yoplait Greek yogurt at everyday low prices.
For auld lang syne.
At Walmart, find everything you need to get back on track for the new year. Back by AdMatch.
Our stores will match the price of any local competitor's printed ad for an identical product. Not applicable to Walmart.com. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking to Stephen Weiss. He is president of the Non-Human Rights Project. Stephen, what rights do you want non-human animals to possess?
Well, that's another good question. I personally would like them to possess all kinds of rights, but I learned a long time ago that judges really don't care what I personally like. And so the issue is really what sort of rights is our society, willing to at least begin to grant a non-human animal. And the mm-hmm. ones that we're trying to begin with are the fundamental rights to bodily integrity and bodily liberty. Bodily integrity would mean you can't essentially commit an unconsented to touching. You couldn't vivisect. You couldn't shoot. You couldn't kill them. Bodily liberty would mean you couldn't lock them up. You couldn't essentially put them in jail. And the non-human animals that we're going to begin with as plaintiffs all have very powerful interests, as we do, in not having their bodily integrity violated or their bodily liberty violated. And we want to start by kind of using those two fundamental rights as a way of kind of kicking open the rights door and saying that as a matter of the common law, the law that judges make, that our non-human animal plaintiffs should have at least these two fundamental rights. And then from then on, it's just, one case after another. Should they have these rights? Should they have these rights? Should they have these rights? And we'll have to deal with it, case by case, right by right, animal by animal.
Mm-hmm. So, Stephen, let me ask you these questions. Imagine you're successful in winning rights as persons for, say, dolphins, and my ski boat accidentally kills a dolphin. Am I now a criminal? Have I committed manslaughter?
Well, criminal law is really statutory law. And mm-hmm. so it would be up to the courts, up to the legislatures as to whether or not they wanted to make enact a statute that made certain kinds of wrongs toward them, murder or manslaughter or not. The Non-Human Rights Project isn't really dealing in the criminal arena at all. One of the reasons we're not doing that is because the criminal arena is something in which you have a prosecutor who has actually does have unlimited, unfettered discretion as to whether or not he or she is going to be going to bring a criminal prosecution against someone for doing something to someone else. So if something happens to you and you want to press charges, the district mm-hmm. attorney doesn't have to if she doesn't want to, and then she can plead the cases out or do whatever she wants. So the criminal law is not really a good way to protect people, and it's not a good way to protect non-humans either. What we're interested in doing is having our non-human animal plaintiffs be seen as legal persons for civil purposes so that if something happens, he or she could sue, say, to get an injunction or even possibly sue for damages the way you and I could if we were injured.
Right. Now, in response to your reply to my question about what rights you want non-human animals to possess, and one of those you mentioned was, slavery, if animals achieve enhanced rights like the right not to be enslaved, Stephen,
yeah.
what happens to those now in zoos and even good quality sanctuaries? Do we just release them?
Well, no. If it's a non-human animal who is not indigenous to our country, which, say, a chimpanzee would be. Say mm-hmm. we bring suit on behalf of a chimpanzee. Say we bring a habeas corpus on behalf of a chimpanzee against a biomedical research institution. We wouldn't want the chimpanzee simply released into the country because he or she would be shot dead within 10 minutes. We'd want to bring them into a sanctuary where they would live out their lives in a setting that is made, you know, for them, not for anyone else. However,
right.
Say we filed suit on behalf of an orca or behalf of a dolphin, we indeed may demand that dolphin, that orca, be taken, from the place where they are and brought either immediately back into the wild where they were taken, or brought to,
right.
say, a sea pen where they might be rehabilitated and then placed back into the wild where they were taken.
Mm, very good. Stephen, do religious leaders comment on your work or send hate mail, given that you may be seen as threatening man's special place under God?
Well, some people actually agree with me. In my last book, I wrote about factory farming. And at the end of that, I began to look at folks who were taking a much more kind of green evangelical sort of Christianity, people who were affiliated, for example, with the very conservative Southern Baptist Convention, and other Christian groups who to my surprise, I simply didn't know it, turned out to be in the process of thinking more liberally about these sorts of issues. And I find that many of them are much more sympathetic. Many religious folks are much more sympathetic to the kind of things we're talking about than I would have once thought. And I have found that climate change has persuaded many of them that we have to have a new kind of relationship with our environment and with other beings in our environment. And thinking about that has caused them to think a lot more differently about our relationship with many non-human animals as well.
Now, speaking about our environment, what will the impact of enhanced legal rights of, let's say, orcas and dolphins be on the environment? We humans are ruining, destroying the oceans, the home of these animals. So are the animals going to sue the petroleum companies and the fertilizer manufacturers and the fishing corporations? It can get messy, huh?
You know, that remains to be seen. What the Non-Human Rights Project is trying to do is have them declared legal persons so that they're eligible to possess legal rights of one kind or another. We ask that the judge agree with us, that the courts agree with us, that they can have such fundamental rights as bodily integrity and bodily liberty. And then once courts agree with that, then we begin to argue about whether or not they should have other sorts of rights. And I'm sure those kinds of rights would be in the mix, but who knows what the courts would do with them. But the thing is they would consider that it's possible for these animals to have the legal right that we're talking about. We might lose the case, but we wouldn't lose the case on the grounds that our non-human animal plaintiff isn't the kind of being who could have legal rights at all. We might lose on the ground that the right that we're asking for her, she's not going to get. And that's a very different ground, because that happens to humans all the time. Humans might seek certain rights, and courts simply say, you're not entitled to them.
Right. Don't go away. More with Stephen Weiss with the Non-Human Rights Project. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today.
It was the moment I realized I was about to lose my job.
I found myself searching for pills instead of just being with my family.
At that moment, I finally decided to get help for my addiction to opioids.
The prescription painkillers.
At turntohelpnow.com, you'll learn that opioid dependence is a real medical condition and that there are different ways to get help, including those in a private setting without the need for daily visits.
That moment led me to turntohelpnow.com.
Make now your moment. Visit turntohelpnow.com today.
I love you, Frank.
Oh, I love you too, Samsung.
Wait, did you just call me Samsung?
What? No, of course not, Janet. That is totally silly. Of course I know your name is Panasonic.
I'm going to my sister's.
Sony! Sony! What did I do?
Big screen TVs on the brain? Get to Sears before the game. Get 36-month special financing on total electronics purchases over $9.99. This is the ultimate football experience. This is Sears. Subject to credit approval, see store or sears.com/football for details. Offer ends 2213.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedptt3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3. You push to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
Almost done with the hors d'oeuvres. Soufflés are ready. Hey, Flo, how are those cupcakes coming?
Putting sprinkles on the last one now.
Great. Hey, I thought we had another tray of the red velvet. Have you seen it?
Me? What? Why would you? There's frosting on my face, isn't there?
Yep.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24/7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Apply chapstick to my lips. Raspberry cream I can't resist. Flavor fruity, oh so juicy. Just give one to my friend Lucy. Burst of berries, creamy rich. Chapstick always on my lips. La 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 la, la 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 la.
Apply new chapstick raspberry cream and apply happy. Luscious raspberry flavor, 10 juicy moisturizers. Grab one from the cough and cold aisle.
La 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 la, la la la.
Chapstick, apply happy.
Mmm.
Yum.
Mmm.
We're listening to people enjoying new Centrum Flavor Burst chews.
That was good.
The delicious, fruit-flavored, chewy multivitamin you can take without food or water.
Yum.
Listen to them go. Getting their essential nutrients, supporting their immune system with vitamins E and C, and their energy with B vitamins.
Yum.
Who says multivitamins have to taste like multivitamins?
Delicious.
New Centrum Flavor Burst chews from the makers of the number one multivitamin brand. Mm. Visit Centrum.com for your $2 coupon today.
Can I have another?
Health insurance is on everybody's mind right now. You either don't have it, or you have it and you think it's too expensive. And you probably feel like you don't have any options. We can help. We are InSphere Insurance Solutions. We offer health insurance plans from major carriers nationwide and likely have a plan that can save you money. Whether you're self-employed, on a COBRA plan that's about to expire, or you simply don't have health insurance where you work and you need it, InSphere Insurance Solutions can help you. Our agents will help you find coverage you can afford. InSphere Insurance Solutions is an authorized agency in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia. Plans may not be available in all states. 800-980-9325. 800-980-9325. 800-980-9325. 800-980-9325.
Welcome back. We're speaking to Stephen Weiss with Non-Human Rights Project. Stephen, how about the sport hunters and the NRA? Are you in their sights, so to speak? Because if orcas and chimps get enhanced rights, then deer and ducks can't be far behind, correct?
Well, not necessarily. It depends upon what standard a common law court uses for giving out legal personhood. We're arguing that there are certain kinds of autonomy that at least some non-human animals have, like cetaceans or elephants or apes. As to what other non-human animals might also be entitled to personhood, it would have to be taken on a case-by-case basis. Now, I'm not saying they do, I'm not saying they don't, or what animals would, but there are a million species of non-human animals, and they range from chimpanzees to insects, and there's a lot of animals in between, and so courts are going to have to deal with them really on a case-by-case basis. But I can say that if a non-human animal is seen as being a legal person with the fundamental right to bodily integrity, then you cannot shoot her.
Steve, there's the debate concerning the morality of human abortion, and in particular the issue of when a human should be considered a person with the legal rights of a person, pertinent to the discussion of greater legal rights for animals? Because in many states, a woman may obtain a legal abortion well after 20 weeks gestation and yet be committing a crime if she fails to provide adequate shelter from the sun for her dogs. Do dogs have greater legal rights than human fetuses?
Well, no. I think actually the abortion debate is something that tends to favor the kinds of arguments I'm making. In most states, in fact, probably in every state, fetuses already have a lot of rights, either under the common law or oftentimes under state statutes or under state constitutions. The one major right that fetuses don't have is that they are not considered to be legal persons within the meaning of the word person as used in the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. So the mother is a person, and she does have certain rights of privacy, but because a fetus is not a person, then the fetus's interests really fall almost entirely before the mother, who is a person. So we are not claiming that a non-human animal should be a person any more than a fetus should be within the meaning of the 14th Amendment, but we are saying that a non-human animal like an elephant or like an ape or like a cetacean should be a person within the meaning of the common law, say, the way a human fetus is.
There's a movie being currently produced about the Non-Human Rights Project, Stephen. Please tell us about that.
I certainly will. For about a year and a half now, the very eminent filmmaker D.A. Pennybaker and his wife, Chris Hegedus, from New York City, have been producing a documentary about us. Now, we're very excited. Pennybaker, who's known universally as Penny, was given the first Oscar for Lifetime Achievement as a documentary filmmaker that has ever been given out. And so we're very happy that he's in the middle of shooting a film about us. And what he's doing, what he and Chris Hegedus are doing, are following us around, getting in complete access to all of our internal conversations, everything that goes on within the organization, anything that they want to film or record, they're allowed to do. And so they're going to show exactly how we came to do what it is we're going to do. And then they're going to film inside the courtroom. They're going to film any trial, and then they're going to film any appeal. And then at the end of that, whatever happens, they'll release the movie.
So interesting. Very exciting.
We're very
Stephen,
excited about
it. I'm sure you should be. I want to give my listeners an update on a lawsuit involving Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus. And then, if it's okay, I'd like to ask you a couple questions pertaining to this. In 2010, Feld Corporation, owner of Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus, filed a lawsuit in federal court under the RICO Act against some of the biggest names in animal welfare, including the Humane Society of the United States, the ASPCA, the Fund for Animals, the Animal Welfare Institute, the Animal Protection Institute, and a number of lawyers, and one now infamous and discredited witness Tom Ryder. Now, Feld claimed that the defendants in their lawsuit, which focused on the circus's treatment of Asian elephants and which was previously dismissed, engaged in bribery and illegal gratuity payments, committed money laundering, obstructed justice, and committed mail and wire fraud. Now, it turns out that Ryder is ruled by the judge in 2009, was allegedly paid $190,000 for his testimony, and that he was not a credible witness. The suit against Feld was dismissed for lack of evidence. Feld, in seeking to recover $22 million it spent in defending the suit, recently obtained a settlement of $9.3 million from ASPCA. And that is more than $9 million of our donated dollars going to pay a legal settlement. So, Stephen, do I have the facts correct as you understand them? And where did the animal welfare groups go wrong? And what is your reaction to this huge settlement?
Well, there's one correction, which is an important one I want to make. The first suit that the animal welfare groups filed against Feld was dismissed for lack of standing. Now, standing is a problem that animal welfare and environmental groups always have, and the reason it's a problem is that elephants, for example, are legal things. They have no legal rights. And in the world that the Non-Human Rights Project is beginning to create, where a non-human animal can be a legal person with rights, this problem of standing evaporates. It no longer exists because you don't have to try to bring a lawsuit based upon the standing of someone like Tom Ryder. You bring a lawsuit based upon the legal rights and standing of the Asian elephants themselves. So the work that we're doing is to try to prevent the problem that occurred in the Feld case from ever arising. So that is really one unfortunate thing. In my law school classes, I talk about the Feld case as kind of being the poster child for how the law of standing has gone completely haywire and has really taken over a significant part of the law of federal animal law litigation. In that case, I think the case was first dismissed for lack of standing on the papers and then went up to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, who overturned it, saying that if you can prove certain facts, then you will have standing. And the problem was at trial that the judge wrote that he thought that the plaintiffs had not proven these facts, and then he set out certain findings claiming just what you had said, that all kinds of bad things had occurred, that the plaintiffs had engaged in improper actions, and that the witness, Tom Ryder, was not credible, and therefore on the merits, not on the papers, he again threw the case out for standing. They again took it up to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, who affirmed. So the problem is you had 9 years of litigation costing. Look, I think Feld says it cost them $22 million. I have no idea how much it cost all the plaintiffs, but you can figure out that it's a substantial amount when all they're trying to do is show that Asian elephants are being abused within the meaning of the Endangered Species Act. If the Asian elephants themselves were legal persons with rights, then you would simply file a lawsuit on behalf of the Asian elephants and be done with it, and have the judge decide is the Endangered Species Act being violated or not. Instead, you have all of these awful things that have gone on, and which ended with the judge throwing the case out on the merits for standing, and then Feld turning around and filing a RICO suit that had other counts as well, and as you said, the ASPCA just settled for over $9 million, and that doesn't mean the case is over because the list of defendants you named presumably are still in the case, and they still have to litigate this issue, and I have no idea how it's all going to end. But it's, number one, it's all really ugly and unfortunate, and number two, it's all due to this problem of elephants not being legal persons.
Stephen Weiss, thank you so much. Tell us your website and where my listeners can learn more about you and your writings.
Oh, sure. Our website would be nonhumanrights.org, www.nonhumanrights.org. You'll find you can find out all about the Non-Human Rights Project work, and you can find out about all the books I've written and the articles I've written. It's all there. And then we have a lively Facebook page as well, and it's Non-Human Rights Project. Just go on there, and you can see our Facebook. And we'd like to hear from you. If you'd like to donate to us to help get these cases to trial one after another, you're welcome to do that as well.
Nonhumanrights.org. Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Don't go away. More with Animals Today. We have Peter up next and the news.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
Buy Kellogg's Special K Red Berry cereal at Walmart.
And never
forget to buy some Healthy Choice Cafe Steamers meals.
We'll take a cup of.
You'll play Greek yogurt at everyday low prices.
For auld lang syne.
At Walmart, find everything you need to get back on track for the new year. Back by AdMatch.
Our stores will match the price of any local competitor's printed ad for an identical product. Not applicable to Walmart.com. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Because Mike switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, his money clip wants to shake his hand. Firmly. For a solid 3 seconds. But it can't. Fact is, most money clips don't have hands to shake with. Switch to Geico, and every time you notice the extra cash, you'll know your money clip wants to give you a firm handshake. But remember, it can't. It doesn't have hands. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Apply chapstick to my lips. Raspberry cream, I can't resist. Flavor fruity, oh so juicy. Just give one to my friend Lucy. Burst of berries, creamy rich. Chapstick always on my lips. La 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 la.
Apply new Chapstick Raspberry Cream and apply happy. Luscious raspberry flavor, 10 juicy moisturizers. Grab one from the cough and cold aisle. Chapstick, apply happy.
Mmm.
Yum.
Mmm.
We're listening to people enjoying new Centrum Flavor Burst Chews.
That was good.
The delicious fruit-flavored chewy multivitamin you can take without food or water.
Yum.
Listen to them go. Getting their essential nutrients, supporting their immune system with vitamins E and C, and their energy with B vitamins.
Yum.
Who says multivitamins have to taste like multivitamins?
Delicious.
New Centrum Flavor Burst Chews from the makers of the number one multivitamin brand. Mm. Visit Centrum.com for your $2 coupon today.
Can I have another?
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been.
Well, based on that song, I will guess that the first news story you have to tell us about involves an octopus.
Well, it involves a squid.
Oh, squid, okay.
Are there squid songs?
I can't think of one off the
top
of my head.
Maybe our producer can find something squid-like.
Okay.
But, you know, Japanese scientists, they have finally filmed that giant squid in the depths of the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been trying to do this for a long time to get good footage. Most of the time, all the time, they get dead squid that has been captured or washes up ashore. So they know they're there. But after many years of trying, they finally have gotten good footage. We haven't seen it yet. We just see these pictures. And they followed this not a 3-meter specimen down to from 630 meters to 900 meters down, and followed him around and watched him feed and did his squid thing. And imagine this huge thing chasing you.
Chasing you. Do you think the squid minds that? Like, what is this person doing here? And just leave me alone. Don't watch me eat and do the things
I do. You know,
that's
interesting. I wonder if it was a chase or it was just innocent, just didn't find it to be a threat. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see this on the Discovery Channel at some point. This squid had two of the longest arms missing, and it's really incredible how these specimens can go down so deep and not get squished.
Yeah, yeah.
Sad news from Kenya. A family of 11 elephants was recently slaughtered by poachers.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it still is going on. In fact, there's been an upsurge recently. In 1989, the government banned trade in ivory, but recently there's been a rise in this practice due to increased demand from Asia. And people are just taking more chances, I guess. So 11 of these poor beautiful creatures were shot, and then their tusks hacked off, and they're hunting for these killers.
What a shame.
Isn't that horrible?
Oh, what a shame. I see you're trying to purposely not show me the pictures.
Yeah.
Don't show me. Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe you'll get news for us next time, good news that they got caught.
Okay, we'll look for see what the status of these are. But it's got to be a hard thing to enforce, and there's got to be a lot of corruption, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And just desperation of the people, not to make excuses, but it's a different world out there, isn't it?
And it just goes on all the time, all the time. It just doesn't seem like we're making a dent in it, do
we? You know, we are making
are
a
we?
Dent.
Yeah.
But every day, you it's like whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
That's a bad analogy, I guess. You know, you get them in one area, or it squeezes out somewhere else.
Right.
And this demand is hard to just make go away everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. In South Carolina, I mean, there's no shortage of stupidity, though. So here's one of these stories coming up.
Right,
and
exactly.
Here's one right now.
Oh, okay. More stupidity, okay.
Back here in South Carolina, authorities have taken away the children of a couple after their dog bit one of them. So they've got this dog, and the dog actually mauled a previous child and killed their own child.
Oh, okay? My goodness.
So while that's being looked at, I guess the dog's still in the house, and the family's under scrutiny, and the dog
bites another one of them. Apparently not that seriously, but bites another kid. So that's enough of the court. So now they take the kids out of the household.
And what happened to the dog?
Dog, no word on the dog. Can't really find out.
Huh.
Okay. But you would think.
You would think so much.
So much. Where
you do would
you
think so much.
Where do you start on
one
this?
One normal person would think so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what happened after their first child got mauled to death? I mean,
yeah, it's not,
any action taken then?
It's not clear whether the dog was ordered out of the home or whether there was supervision.
Oh, I gotcha.
Or it's just not, there's just not, just can't tell from the facts in hand. But for whatever reason, the dog was still in the house with the other kids and apparently has a propensity to bite.
Yeah.
So what do you do? I don't know.
Can't fix stupid.
And along that theme, it's so easy to find these stories. Let's say you're a different couple and you are sleeping and you wake up and you find your kid has apparently walked out the front door. What do? You call the police and you report that your child is missing, right?
How old the child?
Child is 3.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. So, the police come, and what do they find? They find 298 animals.
Oh, no. Another hoarding case.
Pythons, snakes, monitor lizards, bearded lizards, a bunch of rats and mice to feed all these animals, some birds, squirrels, hamsters, hedgehogs, almost 300 animals. And a note from a relative saying, I've got your kid. I tried to wake you up, but you wouldn't wake up, so I have your child.
I think the animals kicked the kid out. The animals put that note there. We don't want a human being around
us. That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's another.
So is this a hoarding case nutty?
But look, yes, it's a hoarding case. And with the usual accompaniments, the stench, the filthy cages everywhere, deplorable conditions, including the bedrooms. You know, so it's a hoarding case, but look at the child neglect.
That's exactly.
So these things so often go together.
They do go together. Hoarders shouldn't have kids. They shouldn't have any more animals, period.
Yes.
Right?
That's it. And I'm reading more about our genome and our genes.
Oh.
And you should know that in the human genome, it's filled with virus genes. 3 or 5% of our genes actually originated with viruses, and these viruses have jumped back and forth from humans back to other vectors over the eons. And I mention that because of a different story where cows could share up to a quarter of their DNA with reptiles. So pieces of DNA are constantly jumping back between species, conferring all sorts of properties, sometimes doing nothing, but occasionally a piece of genetic material will express itself in strange ways, which is why sometimes you see a tail on a person.
Wow.
So we're learning all sorts of fun stuff. But isn't it weird to think that you are, a significant part of you is virus?
Yeah.
And me too, by the way.
Yeah.
And John.
Very cool. Thank you, Peter. And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.